it. But you know, what we really want when we come to the house of God is what He wants. Because if you really think you want anything else in your life, you're headed down the wrong road. And I want to just read a couple of verses, just two verses out of Psalms 139. And just give you a thought, and then we'll speak for a few minutes, and then we're going to give an invitation. I'll say this, the altars are always open. Because if you ever want your life to be what it should be, it needs to be right with God. First of all, you must be born again. You're not going to heaven if you're not saved by the grace of God. You're not going to heaven because you've been good. You're not going to heaven because you've given a lot of money to the church. And you're not going to heaven because you're not like somebody else. If you go to heaven, it's because you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Now, they were up here singing, and they began to talk about how it's kind of like homecoming. And I can't help but think about this sometimes. We don't see things like we're going to see them, okay? But one thing I know, that there's going to be a great homecoming. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe the Bible teaches this. It talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, how many of you have somebody in heaven right now? You miss them. You think about them. My dad went to be with the Lord 10 years ago. I've got grandmothers. I've got aunts. I've got uncles. I've got a sister in heaven. My wife has a sister in heaven. And when I begin to think about it, and it seems like when it comes to my memory, it's just like yesterday that we were together. It's just like yesterday. Well, folks, I want to tell you, when you get there, you're going to think it's tomorrow. Because if we look at eternity in comparison to time, it's tomorrow. And for some people, it could be today. Now, I want to share this thought with you, just something that's on my heart. And here's the thought. It's when God looks inside. I begin to read this verse of Scripture, and that thought come to my heart and my mind. And I want you to think about it in this respect, about when God looks inside. You know, sometimes when we're sitting in a service like this, and we're here, and sometimes we even may think, well, we're coming to be with somebody else. We're coming to support somebody else, or we're coming to hear singing. And when you get here and you're in this place, all of a sudden something happens. The Holy Spirit begins to move, and when it moves on you, it's like one of those times when He sweeps over you with His power. It's when the Holy Spirit moves in, and it's like a light in a dark room when God speaks to you. And you know that you've been in the presence of the Lord. Now here's something that a lot of people don't like. They say, well, you know God, that Jesus, He's the nosiest thing. He's always sticking His nose in my business, and He's always wanting to deal with things in my life. I just assume that I'm more comfortable if I don't go to church and I'm not around that. You know why it's a lot of people don't want to be in the house of God? They're afraid that the voice of God will speak to them. Do you know there's a verse over in the first chapter of the book of Psalms that talks about sinners will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Right. Now, folks, I've been in church before, and I don't like standing still. I want that headset as soon as I can get it back. But I want to tell you, they come into the house of God, and they're in the house of God. Let me get this thing on. They're in the house of God. And the Spirit begins to move. And you've heard these stories before where they say, I was there, and they grabbed a hold of the bench. Oh, yeah. And they're squeezing onto the bench. And they're holding on for all they can. It's almost like they're trying to keep the Holy Spirit of God that's got a hold of them from drawing them right down here to this altar. And what happens, and I've seen this happen before, they turn and they go out that door, and they go out as fast as they can. Can I tell you something this morning? It is a privilege to have the Holy Spirit of God speak to you. Yeah. To have the Holy Spirit of God care enough about you to come and interrupt your life, to interrupt your business, and to tell you that everything in your life is not right with Him. It's a privilege. Do you know in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, there was a man named Saul. And he was on the road to Damascus, and he had been persecuting Christians to the extent that they laid the clothes of one Stephen down at his feet. A man of God. And when he was on the road to Damascus, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, Jesus, spoke to him, and he heard this voice. That voice came and it spoke to correct him. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I need that. I heard somebody say to me, I've had several people say this, I need to come to the house of God so that I can get preached to. A lot of people don't like to get preached to anymore. They just want to come. It's almost like this. I want to have his name, but I don't want him having anything to do with the way I live my life. Well, folks, I need to get preached to, because if I'm going to represent Jesus Christ, I need to live like I represent Jesus Christ. And the truth is, sometimes I don't. You know, you go on down in this same chapter, Acts number 9, there was a man named Ananias, and he was over there, and he was doing what he wanted to do. You know, a lot of times we'll serve God if we can do what we want to do. He was doing what he wanted to do, but the Lord spoke to him, and he said, I want you to go over there to where Saul's at. He's blind, and you're going to go over there, and you're going to speak to him. You know what he said? I don't want to go over there. He's been persecuting the church. If I go over there, what about me? We got to trust God. Sometimes the voice of God speaks to us to direct us and to send us in the paths and the direction that God wants us to go. So sometimes, whether we like it or not, God comes. But you know, one thing I've also noticed, he speaks to us by his Spirit. But folks, he speaks to us by his word. You remember that scripture in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12? It says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, I've heard this said before, and I believe this with all my heart. The word of God is powerful. It's like a lion. And a lion does not need anyone to defend it. It is capable and able of defending itself. Now, folks, there's a lot of people today that want to stop the preaching of the Word of God. They want to stop us from reading the Word of God. And they're writing legislation to do away with the Word of God. But I want to tell you, the Word of God is going to stand. And there's going to be a day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And doesn't the scripture say that not one jot or one tittle will pass? So when I open it and read it, the power of it just comes over me in my life, and it speaks to me about me. And it's like this. It's like holding up a mirror, and it reflects everything about me. You know, I've got to the point, I don't like looking in a mirror. You see, and I said this last Sunday, when I look that way, it's pretty much the same. Because I got good glasses. I got a good eye doctor now. I mean, they do a good job with these seamless trifocals. And when I look that way and in my mind, it's the same. But when I look in the mirror, it's not the same. I went yesterday and I talked, I was there about doing some business, and a man came up to me and he wanted to show me his license. He had the same birthday that I had. And my boys were standing there and they looked at him and they looked at me and they said, but you younger than him. They thought he was younger than me. And he said, no, I'm 2 years older than him. They looked at him and they looked at me and they didn't say nothing else. Sometimes I don't like looking in the mirror. You may not either. But you know, for the same reason, there's a lot of people don't like opening the Word of God. That's why people don't come into the house of God. That's why they don't want to talk about Jesus. That's why they don't want to talk about preaching. That's why they don't want to believe in creation. Because if you believe there's a God, then you got to believe what God says about you. If you believe the Word of God is true, then you got to believe what the Word of God says about you. See, God sometimes comes and He speaks, whether we like it or not. Doesn't the scripture say that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? And then you go down to that 14th verse and look at the power of this verse. It says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, folks, here's something to understand. How can we say that we know Jesus, that we love Jesus, if we don't love His Word?
Amen.
How? Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, sometimes you're in the house of God and God just moves. He just speaks to you and He lets you know that there's something in your heart that's not exactly right. And you know, folks, that's a privilege. That's just, I cannot tell you how much of a privilege it is. We just saw a little skit just a minute ago, a video of a group that's over in Israel that said they're driven from place to place, being beaten and persecuted, trying to find a place to worship. And we can come every day, and when the Holy Spirit moves, you ought to run down that aisle to the altar. You ought to want to come and thank God. And sometimes that's the way God moves. But in this scripture, Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, it's different. See, here's what the scripture says. David prayed and he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, the first two things that I mentioned, by His Spirit, by His Word, this is when God comes to you. But if you go to this scripture here in Psalms and you read it or you pray it at David, as David did, this is when you go to God. It's like this. It's when you stand before the Lord and you say, "God, I want you to look right here. I want you to look in my heart. I want you to look inside of me. And Lord, I want you to just speak to me. And Lord, help me to understand exactly where I'm at. Lord, I want you to show me if there's anything in me that's not pleasing to you." You know, a lot of times people criticize David. You know, I know David failed. But all of you have failed. One thing you find about David, the scripture said over there in the 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14 in the latter part of the verse, it says that the Lord hath sought him a man that's after his own heart. Then you go to 1 Kings 11:4, and it speaks about Solomon in comparison to David, and it says that the heart of Solomon was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. You see, David was not a perfect man, but David was a man that pursued God. He pursued God. He didn't just know who he was or know of him. He pursued him. And when David did fail, or David did have a problem in his life, in the 51st chapter of Psalms, you find the verses where David comes before the Lord, because, you know, in order for you to ever come to the point that you say, "God, look right here. God, would you look in my heart?" You got to have a relationship with the living God. You first got to know him. But then you got to understand what it means to have a close walk with him. What it means to have fellowship with a living God, and how precious it is and how important it is, to where you're willing to come before the Lord and just open the doors. See, David began to pray. After his failure, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." You see, and I've heard it said, I heard somebody speak it this morning, and it's very, very true. Without peace with God, doesn't matter what else you got. You see, pursuing God and intimacy with God is like it says in Psalms chapter 42 and verse number 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." The scripture, as it's stated in Psalms 31, is a prayer. And in order to even get to this point in your life, you've got to be walking with him. And you've got to be walking close enough with him that you come to him, and you've enjoyed your relationship with God, but you're saying, "God, I want more. God, I want you to show me. God, I want you to teach me. God, I want you to lead me." And here we see where David, he says, "Search me, O God." And here's what that is. It's a willingness, number one, to allow God inside. This is the beginning of true intimacy with God. You see, some people say they know God, they believe in Jesus, but are you really close to God? And it's kind of like this, and I've heard this said before, that most people will go through their life and they will never really have true close friends. Some people will have too. You know, I got tons of friends. Tons. I've been in church my whole life. And I want to tell you, my church family is dear to me. But let's just be honest. Is there anybody that you've really let get all the way inside? Is there anybody that you were willing, because of everything that you know about you, you let them get all the way in? Can I tell you that sometimes people will marry and they'll spend 20, 25, 30, 40 years together, but they still keep a distance? It's like, I'm going to let you get close, but that's close enough. You know, that's the way we are with our friends. That's the way we are a lot of times with our spouse. But I want to tell you, a lot of times, Christians, that's the way we are with our God. Because we've got rooms that we just are not willing to allow Him to walk into. But when you get willing to cry out and say, God, look inside, and you take everything that you have, and you're willing to lay it before Him, that's when true intimacy begins. You see, true intimacy begins, intimacy with God, with a willingness to allow God to take His proper place in your life. Now, here's what God's place is. Now, He's my Savior. He saved me when I was 12. But He's only Lord of my life when I allow Him to be. You see, we like to have Him as Savior, and we like to have Him as provider, and a lot of people like to have Him as a spare tire. But where He wants to be is Lord. And in order for Him to be Lord, you have to surrender.
Amen.
You see, it means no more limited access. Because for the most part, for most people, we keep God at the distance that we want Him at. We have certain things that we're willing to surrender to Him, but there are other things that often are off limits. We're not going to even act like God sees it. But I want to remind you, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And I begin to think, Brother Jerry, as y'all were up here singing about how God sees things. Now, folks, He's omnipresent. That means He sees the past. He's the Alpha and Omega. He sees the past, the present, and the future all at the same time with no division. I know you don't understand that. We are not yet, but we're not yet what we're going to be, because when we see Him, we're going to be like Him, okay? It's not yet been revealed to us the things that God hath prepared for us, but He's revealed some of them to us by His Spirit. See, God doesn't see things like you and I do. He sees it all. And just because we put a wall up or we put a shield up doesn't mean that God doesn't see it. It just means that we haven't been willing to come to the point in our lives that we pray like David did and say, search me. Search me. See, it's almost like having rooms in your house that you've labeled as off limits. Now, I know y'all do this. We've all done this. You ever had company come? And you get the kids and you say, all right, kids, we're going to shut this door. And we're going to shut that door. And when they get here, you better not open that door. You know, a lot of times that's the way we are when we come to church. We come in the door and we're ready to praise. God, would you bless us? And we open that door and we're needing something from God. But we've put all our garbage over there in the closet door of our heart, and we think God don't see it. But I want to tell you something. If you want intimacy with God, you got to come like David did, and you got to pray, and you say, God, search me.
Amen.
Because the truth is, this is true of every person in this building this morning. You are as close to God as you want to be.
Right.
The next thing he said is, he said, try me. That's a willingness to surrender. And I'm talking about, you say, Lord, all right, I want to do right. Here's to the point where it starts hurting. Do you know that to resist the flesh, it's painful? There's one place, and it talks about resisting, and it compared it to Christ and what He suffered. It says, you have not yet resisted against sin unto blood. But Jesus did. But when He said, try me, it's like saying, Lord,
put me to the test. It's when you're willing to do this. And here's the problem with this prayer, because I've tried this. You know, you think you're getting close to God. And you pray this prayer. Oh, search me, oh God. And then all of a sudden, God searches you. And He tries you. And He holds up a picture. And He lets you see you as He sees you. It's when God shows you who you really are. There are no more secrets. It's when you say, Lord, let me see you. Or, Lord, let me see myself as you see me. When God comes, what you have to do is you can't deny, you can't run away, and you can't throw that barrier back up. A lot of people do. And I understand it. But what I want you to understand is God's not like the people in your life. God's not like the person that's hurt you. He's not like the person that mistreated you. All God wants to do is get closer and closer to you. Doesn't the Scripture say to draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you? You see, many people live their whole life with a barrier up, never letting anyone get too close. Oh, we say we're close, but have we really surrendered? And the last thing He says is lead me. Now here's what lead me is. Lead me is a willingness to change. That's when you say, God, show me. Show me the way. Psalms 31:3 says, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. He says, show me and then help me. And here's what's important, folks. You must acknowledge that you cannot do it by yourself. Psalms 27:11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And then you cry and you say, Lord, change me. And I'm talking, folks, I'm just talking about coming into God's presence and being willing to do and be absolutely open before Him. And let Him be the Lord of your life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, one of the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, there was a time, if you go back and you look at history, and we've already talked about this a little bit, when people, when they come together to worship, it wasn't corporate worship like this. Most of it was a little group over here in a house, or a little group over there in a house. And when they come together and they begin to join together, it was because they had a true and a real hunger for the things of God. And sometimes we come into His presence and that spirit or that word that I mentioned, it speaks to us. And all it is God reaching out to you and He's saying, would you come closer? Would you come into my presence? Would you come into my arms and allow me to be the God that I want to be? Would you cry, Abba, Father? But why do people not want to pray this prayer? I'm going to go ahead and ask you to get ready with a song. It's going to be sung in just a minute. Sometimes people are afraid to pray this prayer where they say, search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. They're afraid because they're afraid of how God will respond. You say, the truth is, and this is the truth, all those doors are closed and we've put things in the closet. We've tried to block it out of our mind. We've tried to deny it. But we know it's there. We know it's there and maybe we're afraid of how God will respond. Well, I want to tell you what His Word says. He loves you. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the truth is, there's nothing that you'll come and be honest with God about that He doesn't already know. Perhaps it's even because there are things that are there that they just don't want to deal with. But can I tell you, and this is true of you, it's true of me, it's true of every person, we'll never be exactly where we want to be with God until we're willing to come on His terms. Another thing I begin to think about, maybe the reason we don't seek closeness to God, maybe the truth is we are as close as we want to be. Maybe it's because we've not been willing to deal with the things that God's already revealed to us. You see, there's a verse over there that says that we ought to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us. And I've said before that that's one of those kind of verses that, you know how the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Holy Spirit, it speaks to us and it lets us know immediately when the Word of God is read. And when we don't want God any closer, immediately the barrier goes up. But here's the biggest one of all. Maybe we won't invite God to look inside because we know that we don't know Him as our Savior. And we're afraid that if we do come into His presence, it's almost like, you know, I'll come to church with you every now and then. I'll come on Easter. I'll come at Christmas and I'll come hear those singers, but you're afraid to come too much because you know the Holy Spirit's got your number. And you know that God's been dealing with you every time you come into the house. And I want to tell you something. If you don't accept Christ as your Savior, one day it's going to be too late. Because not everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody. So are we willing? Are you willing to pray that prayer? And say, search me. Search me, God. Folks, it's a little scary. It is. Because I can tell you as a preacher, when I pray that prayer, I say, oh, God, I don't like what you show me sometimes. And then I have to, if I want to be right with Him, I have to step forward and say, yes, Lord, try me. And what all that means is help me get where I'm supposed to be. I can't do it by myself. And then I say, Lord, lead me. I want to tell you something. We're going to ask you to stand to your feet. If you don't know God, if it doesn't make you excited when we sing about heaven, we talk about what it's going to be like, it makes you uncomfortable to be in the house of God, let me tell you something. You need to get closer to Him. Most importantly, you need to know Him as your personal Savior. Most important decision you will ever make in your life. And let me tell you something. Your life's going by quick. We don't know. A lot of people in this house, after this service, I may never be able to be in church with you again. Some of you go and be with the Lord. I know we all got our places to go and things to do. But it may be a reunion in heaven next time, Brother Jerry. But for some of you, you say, oh, I want to be right with God. Really? You can. But you got to let Him search you. As they sing this song, if there's anybody here that God spoke to, and I know that He has, it's an opportunity, a privilege to come and bow before Him as we sing. Would you come?
Even though aren't still, and the waves continue tossing me from the storm, I call His name for relief from things distressing me now so quietly.